You're listening to the 503 Report with Tim Reinerson and Andrew Wellborn, where America's voice is heard. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Utility companies are waging a campaign against rooftop solar. Here's a report out of the Washington Post. 3 years ago, the nation's top utility executives, they gathered in Colorado to hear warnings about a grave new threat to operators of America's electric grid. Not superstorms or cyber attacks, but rooftop solar panels. They said if demand for residential solar continued to soar, traditional utilities could soon face serious problems from declining retail sales and a loss of customers to potentially being obsolete. The campaign's first phase, an industry push for state laws raising prices for solar customers, failed spectacularly in legislatures around the country, due in part to surprisingly strong support for solar energy from conservatives, evangelicals, and traditional red states. More recently, the battle shifted to public utility commissions, where industry backers have mounted a more successful push for fee hikes that could put solar panels out of reach for many potential customers. Last month, in a closely watched race, Arizona Utility voted to impose a $50 net metering fee, a common practice that allows solar customers to earn credit for surplus electricity they provide to the electric grid. Whatever you don't use, you sell back. Net metering makes solar home affordable by lowering the rates to offset the $10,000 to $30,000 cost for installing. A Wisconsin Utility Commission approved a similar surcharge, and a New Mexico regulator is doing the same thing. Industry officials say support their customers' right to generate their own electricity, but the rooftop solar popularity is creating a serious cost imbalance. Utilities, ultimately, someone has to pay the cost for the unused part, said David Owens, an executive vice president for Edison Electric Institution. Other studies commissioned by state regulators in Nevada and Mississippi found that costs are generally outweighed by benefits. Now, greenhouse gas emissions will, you know, reduce a lot out there. The residential solar industry currently right now employs 174,000 people nationwide, twice as many as the coal industry. And here in California, now this is hitting a little bit closer to home right now, a political fight over California's renewable energy industry is playing out in the corridors of power. Capitol lawmakers and policymakers are advancing an ambitious proposal to have renewable resources generate half of California's electricity by 2030, up from the 33% benchmark already in law. It is backed fully by Governor Jerry Brown. Senate Pro Tem Kevin DeLeon has promoted it aggressively, and it passed in both the Senate and the House in California. Utilities buy energy to meet California's requirement. They get some of the power from renewable sources such as solar and wind. Now, depending on where the electrons come from, the state assigns different values, 1 through 5, or however they have it. Most lucrative are the kind produced from sources like solar panels in the deserts where there's nothing out there except for solar panels. You've probably seen them when you drive them down 395. The electricity flowing from rooftop solar panels is assigned a far less value. So the homeowner out there who's trying to help himself, they are assigning a far less value for that. California industry Berkshire Hathaway Energy estimates they have spent $7 billion in the last 5 years alone to help increase solar power. And the California Public Utilities Commission is rewriting, boy, check this out, governing rules governing net metering, that $50 fee I told you about. So if you have solar, they're trying to rewrite that here in California. So a lot going on out there. You see a lot of that up here in northeastern California. California, Arizona, New Mexico, states where there's a lot of sun and a lot of wind. It's a great offset to traditional energy. And right now, California and a lot of countries, they have, or a lot of states have it set at 33%. They want to raise the bar to 50. And the big companies, like Edison we were talking about, they're having a difficult time with that. But you and I, the homeowners out there, all we want is a fair shake. They say it's not about the profits. Come on, it is about the profits. We know that. But they have to say that. With me, on my right, joining me, as always, my good friend, Andrew Welborn. Buddy, how are you, man?
You know, it's interesting because I don't think most people in California understand the fight that you just mentioned that's going on down in the legislature, because there's other things that are a little bit more dramatic, a little bit more newsworthy. But there is a fight. There has been a little fight in the legislature that, you know, some of the media covers a little bit, but it's trickling out there. I mean, this fight's been going on for a few years between the power companies, utility companies, against the renewable energy, kind of like the Uber and the taxi drivers out there in California, across this country, when it comes to regulation and taxation. And of course, you know, the power and utility companies have been claiming for years that, you know, it's unfair because, you know, they don't, well, I mean, think about this real quick. The renewable energy sources don't have quite the regulations and cost factors associated with governmental regulations on them. So it's a fight that's out there, folks. And, you know, we're going to have to just pay attention. You know, as California begins to go greener, well, guess what? That creates an opportunity for another green thing called tax dollars in the California legislature. Hello, folks. Andrew Welborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And of course, we are where America's voice is heard, Tim.
You know, Andrew, I was kind of curious where in those other states where they have that $50 metering charge, if it goes directly back to the electric company, because to offset the money that they have to spend, does that go into somewhere else? I know in California, if they were to come up with something like that, Andrew, that would probably go in a black hole somewhere in the general fund or something, not really earmarked for what it's supposed to be for.
Well, look, legislatures can legislate all day long. They can put a requirement that we're going to be 50% by this year when it comes to renewable energy. But you know what? Look, I mean, utopia and pipe dreams exist out there for reasons. And ultimately, you know, what's going to happen when businesses don't do that? I mean, what are they going to do? What's the legislature? How are they going to enforce anything on a business at that point, or individuals at that point? I mean, you can, you know, the movie, a historical movie, A Bridge Too Far, sometimes comes to mind when some of these news stories come across our desk, Tim, and some of these movements within legislatures, not just in California, but other states across this country, and especially in our United States Congress.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And you know what? I wonder why we don't have more of it out here. I guess a lot of it here in California is because of regulations and fighting, and they want to hold fast to that 33%. They don't want to get it above that until the year 2030, when it has to go above 50. But we have so much sunshine, especially up here where we live in northeastern California, and all along areas where there's nothing but desert down here. Why can't we get another business out there where we can have that power and it can be saved and stored, and it can be set off to areas to offset to maybe to the poor, the economically underprivileged, however you want to say that? I'm surprised I haven't even come up with something like that yet.
Well, it's called innovation. And, you know, I mean, we've got a perfect university campus up here, a little local community college campus up here where we could actually set those programs up, I believe. Great opportunity for economic opportunity up here in northeastern California, in Lassen County, where we broadcast out of. You're absolutely right. We got 80 miles to the left and 80 miles to the right of just perfect opportunities to be able to set up, you know, renewable energy, solar panel type energy companies. But, you know, the problem is this: you got to promote innovation in college. You got to start getting into the young kids' minds in the schools now to promote engineering science, to be able to get them interested in doing this. And then when you go to college, folks, I mean, your kids should never go to college for the purpose of getting a job. Your kids should be going to college to learn something, maybe learn something and come up with a trade or a skill or entrepreneurial or something out there that's very viable and marketable.
And that's what the college is for here in our great nation. It has been for years and years and for the past couple of centuries out there. What a great opportunity out there, Andrew.
Well, like I said, you know, we've been promoting, we've been supporters of this idea for a long time. And, of course, it goes all the way back to some of the opinions I have with NASA and how NASA can evolve into creating some of this technology that we need to create renewable sources.
Absolutely.
Okay, California, it's time for something we may or we might not know. Today's date is June 26, 1870. Ready? Christmas. Christmas is established as a national holiday in the United States. Something good. 1934, Germany and Poland, they signed a non-aggression treaty. Boy, a lot of good that did. Talk about
special. Poland, I wonder how that worked out for them.
Boy, aren't we getting to do the same thing maybe in Iran here real soon? And of course, 1941, Lithuanian fascists, they massacred 2,300 Jews in Kovono.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news at 12:15 or thereabouts. Here on 1240 KSHW, live streaming on the World Wide Web at SierraDailyNews.com. Your phone call is always welcome, 257-TALK, 825-58256, toll free at 1-866-882-1277.
Live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains, it's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSHW Live, SierraDailyNews.com. It is Friday. It is our favorite day of the week. With me, as always, to my right, my good friend, Andrew Wellborn. How you doing, buddy?
Always doing good on Fridays here on the 503 Report. I got to tell you, lots happening, obviously, across this country. Very little stuff happening in the California legislature this time of the year. But, man, lots we can talk about, lots to get into. You know, its initiatives now are being just rolling in to the California State Attorney General's office. And, you know, I think we're over 30 initiatives right now. And five of them are directly related to the legalization of marijuana out here in California. So, lots to talk about, folks. Supreme Court decisions have two big ones just came out, as we all know. And then the Confederate flag debate. I'd like to get into that a little bit at the bottom part of the show. But for now, let's talk about some of the initiatives that are being filed out here in the state of California. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And we are where America's voice is heard, Tim.
Andrew, it is that favorite time of the year. We love this time of year. It is a long way until February, till the caucuses and things get going. But they are pouring into California, some rulings out there on some of the ones initiatives that are out there we're talking about, and I can't wait to delve into it and hear what our listeners have to say about
that. Well, look, I'm going to take a few minutes here. You know, we hear it all the time on the show about, well, you know, what are these initiatives about? We don't know what they are about.
Sure.
I'm going to take a few minutes. I'm going to read one of them. I'm going to read from one of them. Obviously, it's a lot of pages, but these are some of the ideas that are being filed in California for the legalization.
Don't laugh. I don't like that, Andrew.
of marijuana out here on the West Coast. And, you know, we've talked about how names are misleading, titles and slogans are misleading. This one is actually, look, folks, bear with me here. You just need to know what some of these people are thinking whenever they file, you know, file one of these. It's up to you, the listener. It's up to you, the voter, to decide whether or not you want to accept this as possibly becoming a law. But you need to understand some of the things that, you know, these individuals are thinking. First of all, this first one is called the 2016 California Bipartisan Decriminalization Act. Cannabis Act out here. So bipartisan, it's like all of a sudden, you know, they're using the word bipartisan, like, you know.
Hands across the aisle.
Hands across the aisle, yeah. A new direction for a safer California by legalizing pot. That's there's going to be a new direction. to legalize pot. I'm not understanding exactly how it's going to be, but anyways, so let's talk about some of these things. You know, it gives some of the definitions. You know, cannabis is a widely beneficial plant that can be easily used for medicine, food, textiles, paper, building materials, fuels, cosmetics, and of course, entertainment. Wow, entertainment. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it can. It's going to provide opportunities for thousands of new jobs while simultaneously collecting millions of dollars in tax revenue. The key there is it's millions, not billions. Millions. The state of California needs billions of tax dollars whenever it comes to an industry. So, and that's kind of important because we're going to get to what that means, just a few million dollars. And then, of course, it goes on to talk about cannabis is a healthy, nutrient-rich, and easy-to-cultivate food crop. So now marijuana is food, I guess.
It's food, all right,
yeah,
somehow.
It's creating it. All right, so what they're going to say is that the intention of it is to improve California's education system by allocating millions of dollars to our public schools' academic programs. Once again, for the kids, right? It's all about
marijuana for the kids.
that's
the bumper sticker.
To assist law enforcement in determining safe levels of impairment for the operation of motor vehicles in order to keep California's streets safe. I thought there should be absolutely zero impairment when it comes to operating machineries and
absolutely
motor vehicles.
Agree with that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But they want. You know,
they
safe.
Want to regulate. They want it at a like alcohol 0.08 or something along those
safe
lines.
Level.
What's a safe level?
All right. It's also to assist in drug and alcohol prevention, intervention, and awareness. We're going to legalize marijuana to bring awareness to
marijuana.
I guess to protect and preserve California's environment, climate, blah blah blah. To protect the safety, welfare, health, and peace of the people of California by freeing law enforcement resources and allowing agents of the law to focus on preventing crime. I thought that's what you guys are doing
already.
I think that's already their job is to focus on individuals who are committing crime, and then of course to assist in funding medical research grants, education awareness specific to health benefits and effects of cannabis, and of course to create a free market economic for recreational cannabis similar to that of wine. And this is what they're talking about. They're trying to associate cannabis now with our wine industry. Now that's a debate.
That's a good debate.
I'm okay with the debate part of that. Okay, but just got to be aware of all of this. And it defines cannabis edibles, cannabis extracts, and then they want to establish ready cannabiseries. Cannabiseries means a cannabis business that cultivates, processes, and packages recreational cannabis for the retail sale or wholesale distribution, and maintains a public cannabis tasting room. Similar to wine tasting room at a winery. And, of course, thank God they want child-resistant, containers so that a five-year-old can't open it. I mean, I guess that's another safe part of what they're thinking. And, of course, the medical cannabis side of it, it's got the healing purposes of things like, anorexia, anxiety. I wonder why. Asthma. How is that good for asthma?
Yeah.
Bronchitis. How's that? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Eating disorders. Imagine that.
And then, you're going to have an eating disorder, all right.
Obesity, mood disorders, PTSD, sickle cell anemia. I didn't realize that it cured
sickle cell
anemia. Yeah. Stress. I can understand that a little bit. Weight loss, definitely. And then, of course, vertigo. I didn't think that it.
Wow.
Yeah, vertigo. So I guess smoking a joint will.
Well, there's all kinds of benefits. Vertigo. Why haven't we had it in law for the last 100 years?
I'm not kidding, folks. I'm just reading it, Tim. You're looking at it.
I'm looking at it right there. These pages he's got here, folks.
And I'm not going to read all of them. And now it goes in. It shall be legal in the state of California, okay? Cannabis shall be removed, ready, from the California Uniform Controlled Substance Act. And cannabis federal Schedule I status shall no longer be recognized or honored by the state of California.
Man, oh, man, that's a lot. It's for the kids. Once again, Andrew, you hit it on there on the kids. A safer California by legalizing pot. Improve education for our youth by the millions and millions that it's going to be bringing in tax dollars, right?
Well, I haven't got to the doctors yet. Just wait for
this
stuff.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, yes. But the key there, to say that we're going to no longer recognize it as a federal Schedule I, I just don't think the state's got that authority when it comes to this. I think that is a federal issue. And it's just going to be something that we need to think about. And if you guys are good with this, then by all means, support this initiative. Here we go. Ready? Starting January 1st, 2017, recreational cannabis shall bear exactly 15% excise tax. 15%. That's just a sales tax. Wait a minute. Hold on. 15%. How much tax vice tax is on a package or a carton of cigarettes out there for the smokers.
I don't know, but I believe it's in dollars.
I don't smoke, so I don't know exactly. I know it's more than 15%.
I believe it is as well, Andrew.
Yeah, I think these guys are kind of a little high here thinking that, you know, it cannot be vice tax, but that's part of it, which is going to limit it to only millions of dollars instead of billions of dollars. My poison out there is Jim Beam, and I just remember... I mean, that's just the bottom of barrel freaking bourbon whiskey. I love it, okay? But the bottom line is, I remember when it jumped up from $15 a gallon to $30 a gallon.
Like, whoa.
Almost overnight because of some of the vice taxes the people of California put on alcohol and tobacco. But here we go. So of that 15%, 50% shall be distributed among California public schools, serving kindergarten through 12th graders, to be used for academic facilities, libraries, music, art, or drama programs. Restricted funds. The distribution of these funds shall be based on student enrollment, blah, 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 basic 98 language, okay? Use of these funds for the school board, the district office, and school administration or administrative salaries at any level is strictly prohibited. 20%, ready? Here's the kicker. 20% of that 15% sales tax shall be distributed to the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation to facilitate and complete the release of all nonviolent cannabis-only offenders pursuant to this measure.
Oh, man.
To release all of the marijuana dealers, nonviolent individuals, I guess. And I guess, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how you're going to categorize non-violent when it comes to that. And, of course... it's going to give you recreational cannabis smoking, vaporization, or combustion is prohibited in public except for outdoor designated areas on the premises of recreational cannabis-only facilities, similar to that of smoking section model adopted by the state of California regarding tobacco. I don't know if that's a good idea. You know, I mean, it's a lot of this stuff. Now, here's the kicker, okay? This funding that they're talking about is going to expand government, certain agencies, and I'll get into that real quickly. This is why I kind of oppose the commercialization and legalization of marijuana for tax basis purposes, okay? Just if you want to make it legal for somebody to consume in your house, utilize the existing alcohol laws, but we don't need any type of legalization for the purpose of monetary gain by the state of California, okay? So this is what we're going to get into, okay? So any citizen of the state of California, 21 and over, shall be granted the right to cultivate cannabis indoors in a greenhouse, outdoors, or personal use, granted lease, blah, 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 blah. No city or county local governing body, including but not limited to homeowners association, shall impose discriminatory fees, restrictions, or zoning requirements on personal use of cannabis cultivation. So they want to limit our local control as far as restricting. Like we talked about last week, I think the county should have absolute control. The city should have absolute control on that. And I think we need to really pay attention. Ready? Licensed physicians shall write prescriptions for cannabis. It says shall write. To me, that's pretty definitive. You know, to me, it seems like they're going to say that a doctor cannot refuse it. Because
a lot different than may write.
Yeah, it says shall write. The medical cannabis shall be administered through licensed traditional pharmacy.
Wow.
Traditional pharmacy. Okay, so they just want to make it right there. All medical cannabis shall be labeled with the following information in a standardized format. Ready? They're going to say may cause dizziness, drowsiness, or impairment. Use caution when driving or operating heavy machinery. Now, somebody can correct me. I mean, I think prescription medication says do not use while operating heavy machinery.
And they're changing that to may. That's crazy.
May.
That is absolutely crazy.
Now, let's talk about the pharmaceutical side, okay? So on a temporary basis, from 2017 to 2022, medical cannabis shall only bear a temporary 10% implementation tax, 10%. Of which 33 shall be go to the California State Board of Pharmacy, 33 go to the California Department of Food and Agriculture, 33 goes to the public health, once again expanding government with this tax dollar. All you libertarians should be just outraged with this. Yeah. And then, of course, 1% shall be distributed to the state general fund. 1%, only 1% of those cells. So, you know, I mean, the money is not adding up. And, folks, I just gave you the percentages. 15% here, 15% there. But... Look at on $1 billion. They're not talking about millions. So it's only 15% of $1 billion in sales. The question is how much weed is going to be sold out there to generate the necessary money to be able to support some of the regulations and the agencies that are going to be expanded as a result of legalizing the marijuana. Okay, so here, let's get into these real quick, and we'll get to the bottom part of the show. No city, county, or local government shall ban the cultivation, sale, or use of medical cannabis. We just talked about that. No local, county, or state law enforcement agent or agency shall enforce any prohibition laws regarding cannabis. No citizen shall be denied life-saving procedures for cannabis use, including but not limited to blood transfusions and organ plants as a result of, you know, maybe the self-detriment, you know,
sure,
with the marijuanas. Public schools are prohibited, ready, from denying students access to doctor-prescribed medical cannabis in a non-combustible form in compliance. Students in high school can have the 215 card, so no schools can do that. State-funded health classes and drug prevention programs such as DARE shall provide balanced education on the benefits of cannabis as well as any potential negatives. Any school or personnel, including but not limited to rogue teachers, found guilty of noncompliance forfeits that school's portion of the cannabis tax revenues. Drug testing for cannabis is prohibited unless performed by an agent. Okay, requires the state to research, blah, blah, blah. If a person uses cannabis primary for determining factor for the removal of a child from a family in a dependency case, so it can't be used as a reason because of too much weed in the house.
Wow.
But most importantly, it just goes on, folks. I'm just bringing it to your attention.
Man.
You know, we just went through 16 pages and gave you the cliff note versions. But bottom line is this: do you want such a law on the state of California that prevents anybody, from helping somebody? Do you want a law on the books right now that allows minors to be able to have access in our public schools? Do you want a law that is going to basically throw the federal system out of the state of California and create a bigger problem, I think, for the people of California in the name of their absolute freedom?
Wow, I'm taken aback. You want to join the conversation? 257-TALK out of the area, 1-866-882-1277.
The Madison County Fair Annual Employee of the Year Luncheon is Friday, July 17th at noon on the Grandstand Lawn. You're encouraged to bring your employees that make a difference in your workplace. During the lunch, the new Employee of the Year will be announced. Nominations are now being accepted. Submit a letter stating why you think your employee should receive this honor. The deadline to submit is July 9th. Luncheon reservations are required and cost $10 a person. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station. This week through June 26th, the Lassen County Veterans Service Office will be closed so that they can attend a training conference. They apologize for any inconvenience. The office will return to normal operations on Monday, June 29th. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station.
If you want to join the conversation, 257-TALK, 825-5826. A toll-free number as well. And the views and opinions expressed on the 503 report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of Sierra Broadcasting Company, are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network. I can't help myself.
Not necessarily my opinions. I'm just reading what some of these stoned individuals have got on their mind. If they can keep a little dazed and confused there. All right, folks. All right, California, time for something you may or may not know. Today's date, June 26th. Elvis Presley, 1977, sings in Indianapolis. It was his last performance of his career. Sad, sad loss of that guy. Of course, in 1963, U.S. President John F. Kennedy gives his famous Ich bin ein Berliner It intended to mean I am a Berliner, but most people may not actually know that it meant that I'm a donut because he misspoke. And then, of course, speaking of the United States Supreme Court in 2008, the United States Supreme Court rules in the District of Columbia versus Heller, you guys remember that, that the ban on handguns in the District of Columbia is unconstitutional. Wow, all the way back to 2008. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are where America's voice is heard. And right now, you know, it's kind of crazy, you know. I mean, the initiatives. That was just one of five initiatives that I just read on the first part of this show that are trying to qualify for ballot out here in California to legalize pot.
Okay, now we talked about this in the last couple of months. We mentioned about they were trying to change the amount of money charged, Andrew, to get a initiative on the ballot from $250, I believe, to around $8,000. Mm-hmm. So here's a case where it probably would be great, but for $250, if we can get enough signatures out there, one of the 30, I think you mentioned, out there somewhere. But, you know, it's for the kids out there. It's going to improve this, and it's going to improve that. And I'm just in awe and shock at some of those things you were reading to me.
We're going to educate mandate that children in California are educated to the benefits of pot, the pit benefits, not the pitfalls, not the problems associated with pot, but the benefits of pot. And there's nothing anybody can do about that, which that's what is so dangerous sometimes about these initiative processes that we have. And it's unfortunately, you know, we have the unintentional intent behind what that intent is with the initiative and referendum process out here in California. But, you know, it is, you know, the right of the people to mandate that the legislature does or does not do something that the people want or do not want done. So there it is.
Andrew, we were talking about before, earlier in the first 15 minutes about some energy here and how we can go about having our kids go to school and be part of the process to create more things and more jobs. Now, if this were to pass, we all know, or most of us should know, the pitfalls and the downfalls of marijuana. It's kind of a downer, like alcohol, it brings you down. So it's going to slow the process. So if you were to use this throughout the course of a day, who is going to be coming up with our new jobs? Who is going to be running our government? Who is going to be doing this? They're going to be stoned out of their mind, folks. You need to pay attention to this one, to the 2016 Bipartisan Cannabis Act. We got to come up with an acronym for that. That means stupidity.
It's for a safer California, yeah. I got to tell you.
Oh, that was Prop 47, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, Safe Neighborhoods Act and things like that. Yeah, anyways. Well, big decisions coming out of the United States Supreme Court. You know, I've really, the gay marriage is really, that was predictable. Yeah, I mean, really, to me, I really don't have an opinion on that as far as the gay marriage. I have several friends who are gay. If they want to get married, you know. And if they want to adopt some kids, take some kids out of orphanages, off the streets, and raise them in a positive environment, absolutely. You want to have kids? Absolutely. So what? You know, I mean, that's just what it is. But the important thing we got to do is protect the religious institutions that don't want to recognize, you know, the gay marriage. And so we can't all of a sudden associate the churches as haters now and hate crimes and discrimination and threaten their nonprofit status. So, you know, if you want to keep the church out of the state, you got to keep the state out of the church. So as long as the church's rights are protected, I think that's going to be the issue. And I think it'll die down and everybody will calm down.
Do you think that is going to be maybe because they've had this landmark case just brought down yesterday? And two cases, like you said, in the last couple of days. Is that going to be part of the next one? Are the people that won this victory now, Andrew, going to go at? Because there are a lot of businesses and organizations out there who are against gay, and they say, no, we're not going to have you here. You can go somewhere else, and that's part of it. Is that going to be the next one brought to the Supreme Court?
Absolutely. You know, you got to be able to allow individuals, you know, to not – you can't force. I mean, businesses are tricky. Okay, because when you're open for business, you can't discriminate against anybody in the name of your business as a result of your business and your faith. I mean, that's pretty clear. I mean, you need to be clever. You know, I mean, if you go openly just say, I'm not going to serve you because you're black, you're white, you're a woman, or you're gay, minority, whatever, then you're going to bring that lawsuit upon you. I mean, there's other clever ways that you can do it. You have a right. Hey, let me be controversial here real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, you do have an individual right to be a racist. You have an individual right to be a bigot in the country. You know, there can be obviously some consequences as a result of you, you know, conducting yourself openly with that. You know, it could be some business consequences. There could be some legal consequences as a result. But, you know, the institutionalization of racism is gone in America as far as, you know, government supported. But individuals, you know, have got that right to have that feeling. You cannot legislate that thought. But the bottom line is that if you act upon that thought, then, you know, guess what? There's going to be some consequences, which is, you know, what the laws are set up and established for.
I believe it was about 50 years ago as well that the Supreme Court ruled on, I believe it was mixed marriages. I'm talking between black and white, biracial marriages. They kind of struck that down. And, mm-hmm. and I was remembering back, and I've told the listeners many times before, I grew up in the Bay Area and all cultures were there, and there were a lot of mixed marriages like that. But that was nothing. That was nothing back then. Everybody got along with each other. There was nothing made of it. And to me, you know, still ruling in it, like you said, if they want to be together, I have no problem with that. But individuals do need to have their rights.
Yeah, absolutely. And the religious organizations. And, you know, that's just something. I mean, we get it right as a nation. We have historically as a nation. Our Supreme Court has corrected a lot of the courses in a short amount of time. Look how far we've advanced as individuals. The rights of individuals, from women, the most discriminated against individuals, more so than any other group in this nation's history. But, you know, that's what the Supreme Court is supposed to do. Now let's talk about this Obamacare ruling. I really didn't follow it that much. I tried to get into it. My good friend Christopher Bennett and I have debated this a few times off the air. And Justice John Roberts, thank God for him on the Supreme Court. Now I'm gonna rub some people wrong, but you know, I want everybody to calm down and look at this logically, okay? Justice John Roberts, even if he would have went against the subsidies from the federal government to the non-established exchanged enrollments into Obamacare, look, he still would pass 5-4. But he took the charge as the majority. And so he got to read what his point was. His point, folks, this is twice a Supreme Court justice has put it back onto you, the voter. You, the people. We, the people, when it comes to who we elect to go into Congress to pass a law. And to overturn the law is not what the job is. It just needs to rule whether or not the law is constitutional or not. And for the states to take the position that they don't want anybody within their state to receive a federal subsidy just because the state, the government of the state, the legislature, did not establish an exchange is wrong. And so, you know, good for the Supreme Court for saying, no, individuals in the states that don't have the exchanges are still going to be eligible for the subsidy. Now we get into the debate. Now we get into the Cato Institute war here, okay? All my Cato Institutioneers out there. Look, a role of government is established by the people. So whatever role of government that we want to argue is unconstitutional is established by legislative powers within the Congress. And so this is a legislative power. This is something that, you know, is going to happen. And if we don't like it, twice now, Justice John Roberts has said to the Republicans, go out there and fix it. Repeal it if you think you can.
And you're absolutely correct, Andrew. We do need to. We have our opportunities to do that. And he did it absolutely correctly.
I think so. I agree with him twice in his majority rules here, because the bottom line is Republicans, get out there. If you think it's so bad, you know, the libertarian side of the Republican Party, those invaders within my Republican Party are just going crazy right now in the media. And of course, you know, I mean, look, the bottom line is that's a piece of legislation. And as Republican candidates, as a president, you're not going to repeal anything. So get off the repeal Obamacare. All 15 of you potential Republican candidates, get off it. Unless you've got a supermajority within the United States Congress, you are not going to be able to repeal it. So, you know, you can advocate it as a message. But another thing kind of bothered me was how the leftist media was trying to portray that the Republicans were going to have a problem if this was being repealed. Republicans are already starting to talk, guys. They're saying, we're going to repeal Obamacare, but we're going to replace it with something better. What kind of hypocrisy is that? You're going to appeal it, but you're going to replace it with something better. I mean, the bottom line is this is a major victory for the leftists. This is a major victory for the Democrats because the people, we the people, have allowed this program to go through our legislature. This act is now here, and it's going to be here to stay, I think, and it's not going to be removed. You're not going to appeal it. You're going to modify it. But the bottom line is this, you know, subsidies is a role of government defined by the people. And if you don't like it, then, you know, get out there, libertarians. Get out of my Republican Party and go to your party and get a majority. Oh, that's right. I don't think the libertarians are going to be able to get a majority of consent from the people of the United States.
You know, and Andrew, you said it correctly, that states may have some super majorities, but that's not going to happen probably again in these United States, in our Congress.
Well, once again, I want to remind our listeners, you know, and let everybody know, remind everybody tomorrow's service for our good friend, Mr. Bob Hardner, 10 o'clock, I believe, at the community church. Going to be probably a large turnout. And once again, I want to give our condolences to his family. And I'm probably going to see a lot of you there tomorrow on a very sad day. Now from our favorite book. Comes from Matthew 18:3. Except ye become as little children, ye will not enter the kingdom of heaven. God bless you, America.
503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work every day, working the toughest beating state, performing a duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this country, can be safe.
The 503 Report, heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSHW, live streaming on the World Wide Web at SierraDannyNews.com. Grab a cup of coffee. On Saturday morning, about 7 o'clock, right before the news and Swap Shop, catch a rebroadcast on Sunday at 7:30 before other pre-programmed material. And about a half hour after the show, go to SierraDailyNews.com. If you want to play the show again, you can check us out there again as well. To the family and the friends of Bob Hardner, tomorrow is going to be a sad day. Bob, you're a great man, and we're thinking about your family. Folks, have a great weekend. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.